Hello, I'm Eddie Farah, founding partner of Farah & Farah, a personal injury firm in Florida and Georgia. Welcome to another edition of Florida Daily TV, brought to you by Farah & Farah.
It's Florida Daily TV, brought to you by FloridaDaily.com. For all your news on politics, business, and education, it's FloridaDaily.com. Now, here's your host, Ed Dean.
Welcome to another edition of Florida Daily TV. We're in our brand new studios. How do you like it? Which is right here on FloridaDaily.com, brought to you by Farah and Farah, trial lawyers you can trust, serving you since 1979. That's FarahandFarah.com. What a topic. Third-party candidacy. Who's going to win? The Republican establishment versus the MAGA crowd. Some would call the base of the Trump support, but does the same base equal that of the Republican Party? Let's get to it. Kevin Derby, the editor from FloridaDaily.com. By the way, I'm your host, Ed Dean, publisher of FloridaDaily.com. Kevin Derby, our editor, and Steve Vancor, who Vancor Jones Communications, one of the best PR firms. I mean, professor at FSU, been all over TV, podcasts. He is the man himself. So let me start with you here, Steve. I want to get to the clip. Here's a clip from Mark Meredith from Fox News. The latest Gallup poll shows that a boatload of Americans out there, Democrats, Independents, and Republicans, support a third party candidacy.
Also, here, new data showing Americans are fed up with the two-party system. Gallup finding 62% of people think a third party is needed. Those numbers are some of the highest recorded in nearly two decades.
Steve, and by the way, the latest numbers show that 63% of Republicans support a third-party candidacy. Steve, is it going to happen? What's the reality versus wannabe world?
It's not going to happen. A third party will not happen. Being dissatisfied with the two-party system does not mean they're going to want a third party. Let's put the reality together. Why would Republicans who are unhappy with the Republican Party, are they going to join with unhappy Democrats to form a third party?
No.
Who are the unhappy Democrats? The far left. Who are the unhappy Republicans? The far right. Do you see the far left and the far right getting together to form a party? Not going to happen.
Bingo.
Also, the laws really don't allow for it to happen.
Hey, Kevin seems exactly right. I hear people on my morning show talk about, and theoretically, it sounds good, Kevin, that you could bring those from the left and those from the right. But I got news for you. The way things are today, both groups, you got to compromise, and they're not willing to compromise, are they, Kevin?
Yeah, they're really not. Look, we've been talking about third parties for the last 40 some odd years, since today's a John Anderson. Okay, we keep thinking that there's these middle ground voters of fiscally responsible, socially inclusive, centrist voters. Look, that might play well with editorial boards. It doesn't play well with your average voter. You know, the independent voters we're starting to see more and more. Economically liberal, maybe a little socially conservative. That's the Trump crowd. You know, maybe Trump could siphon off some of those for a third party the way Teddy Roosevelt or ex-presidents like Fillmore and Van Buren did back in the day. But that's the only way it can happen. You know, I always go back to the famous historian Richard Hofstadter's quote, third parties are like bees. They sting once and then they die. You know, that's what we're looking at. You'll see a third party like Ross Perot show up for an individual issue and then vanish. So I don't see any growth, any room, any opportunity for third parties.
Kevin, let me start.
Question.
Go ahead.
Candidate versus the formation of a third party. You could see somebody with a cult of personality, a Donald Trump type of character emerge. Look at Bernie Sanders. I mean, at some level, Bernie Sanders almost got the Democratic Party. He's not even a member of the Democratic Party. So that doesn't mean another party is going to be created.
Hey, Kevin, here's the question. Is it possible that you saw what happened in the, and I'm going to get to the Trump versus McConnell segment going on here. Is it possible you may see a Tea Party reemerge like they saw what happened in 2010? What do you think, Kev?
I think the Republicans are going to start doing what they always do. They're fiscal conservatives when a Democrat's in the White House. You know, the same Republicans who sat there and were silent when Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan raised the national debt $7.5 trillion over the 4 years of the Trump presidency, all of a sudden will be kicking and screaming, oh my gosh, look at all the spending. We're already seeing it here in Florida with Rick Scott, a guy who frankly was pretty silent the last 2 years of Trump's presidency when government kept spending and spending and spending. All of a sudden now Rick's clutching Ann's pearls at gas at all the spending that Joe Biden's
doing. All right. Yeah.
It'll be a lot of sound, no fury, and no actual results.
No furries. I like
Rick Scott would have never left for Cancun, by the way.
What is up with you in Cancun? I love this story, by the way.
He would have taken his private jet.
Okay, Steve, let me play you a clip from Greg Gutfeld, one of my favorites, one of the co-hosts of Fox News The Five. He says the third party won't be a benefit to the Republicans. It'll be a major benefit to the Democrats. Here's the clip.
If you end up having three parties, it's the odd one out that wins. So if you have the Democratic Party, Republican Party, and Trump decides to run like as the Patriot Party, the Dems are going to win every time. Unless the Dems also cleave, but they're probably not going to cleave. So there has to be a reconciliation within the next before the next election, or you will have the Republican Party will meet a buzzsaw.
Steve, you've done a lot of work. You've done it for a lot of issue groups as well. Is it one of these that you have a postmortem, and usually about 8 months later, they all start making a comeback? They talk about a third party, but they all come back to the family. Is that what we're going to see?
Well, especially on the right, the Republican Party, the Republican personality is more organized. George Will said it 100 years ago that I don't belong to any organized party. I'm a Democrat. The Democrats, history shows, modern history, let's just talk about Florida. Every time there's an independent, an NPA, whatever, the Democrats are the ones who flake off. Ralph Nader example in 2000, not the Republicans. The Republicans will grouse. We all grouse. And then they come home to the ticket. But here's what's important about the third party and the dissatisfaction with the two-party system. Everything in our world, we get choice and variety. Look at, there's over 250 registered sects or components of Christianity, right? Churches operating in America. But the fastest growing segment of churches in America is non-denominational.
Right.
You walk into a convenience store and you get 64 different types of beer. We want variety. We want choice. We want individuality. That's who we are as a culture. That's who we are as a society. And two parties no longer fit that mantra. But there's nowhere to go when it comes to party politics because the rules are governed to allow and create and perpetuate a two-party system in America.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt, Steve. I'm looking at your connection there. But Kevin, when I hear Republicans talk about a third party candidate, you're fine, Steve. I hear when Republicans talk about a third party candidacy, they're not happy with this, they're not happy with that. I sit back and I know this is kind of a segue into the McConnell and Trump thing. I'll get into that in a second, Kevin. But I'm like, wait a second. You mean to tell me you're a Democrat or a Republican in Florida and you're going to let somebody from another state dictate on how your voter identity should be? Kevin, that's never made sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're going to go third party because you don't like Mitch McConnell in Florida, that makes no sense whatsoever. Look, I think that's what it comes down to, organization, money, time. I agree with Steve that you will see a Ross Perot type of, you know, that makes sense to me, a cold personality. And Trump certainly has able to do that. But yeah, I mean, if that happened, you would absolutely cut the Republicans far more than the Democrats.
Okay. On the other side of the break, is it the MAGA support? Is it the grassroots, if you want to line the two the same, versus the Republican establishment? We'll talk about that next. Trump versus McConnell, another edition of Florida Daily TV right here on FloridaDaily.com, brought to you by Farrah & Farrah, serving you since 1979. Lawyers you can trust, that's FarrahAndFarrah.com. We'll be back on the other side right here on Florida Daily TV.
When we come to work in the morning, we don't think about all the money we've won against big tobacco, big pharma, or the insurance industry. That's in the past. Life faces forward, and so do we. It's been said, to live in the past is to die in the present. What really matters is what we can do for you and your family right now, right this second. So call us, Farrah & Farrah, here for you, here for good.
Welcome back to another edition of Florida Daily TV right here on FloridaDaily.com. I'm your host, publisher Ed Dean. Editor Kevin Derby's here with us. Also, Steve Ancor from Ancor Jones Communications, one of the best 1M PR firms out of Tallahassee, but throughout the state as well. Let's talk about it, Steve Ancor. Let me start with you. Here's the latest of Trump versus McConnell. McConnell, of course, voted to acquit President Trump on the impeachment, but McConnell got his last digs in, and then Trump sends out a scathing email saying that McConnell's worthless and we're going to have MAGA supporters versus the establishment. Listen to this clip.
The animosity between former President Donald Trump and current Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell getting personal and ugly. The former president just releasing a statement castigating McConnell following the senator's condemnation of Trump's actions in the wake of the impeachment acquittal. In part, quote, the Republican Party can never again be respected or strong with political leaders, in quotes, like Senator Mitch McConnell. And if Republican senators are going to stay with him, they will not win again. Where necessary and appropriate, I will back primary rivals who espouse making America great again.
All right, let me stop right there. I want to play one more clip, Steve, and I want you to listen to it. This is something I should play for Kevin, but I'm going to play it for you, Steve. Here was Jesse Waters, who's also co-host of Fox News, The Five Water World. Listen to the where Trump may win in the primary, but they may not win in the general election. Listen to this.
When it became clear that Donald Trump was not going to win the election, Mitch dumped him. And I guess personally, he was very offended by what went down with regards to how he saw Trump's role in the Capitol riot was. And now there's a ton of bad blood. So what I'm worried about, Trump plays troublemaker with the primaries and the midterms. He plays kingmaker. I do worry that this battle will cause harm to the party.
There you go. So, Steve, here it is. Trump could win the primary, but what we saw in the Tea Party, some of these candidates may lose the general election.
Look, Mitch McConnell realized he got 6 years left. He wants to be leader again, right?
That's right.
His clear goal. He wants to be leader. What does that mean? He's got to win swing voters. He's got to win swing states. The map doesn't really look that good for the Republicans, although the dynamics of an off-year election do. That Mitch McConnell wants to be leader. What does he got to do? He's got to start appealing to swing and centrist voters. He almost doesn't care about the MAGA. He almost doesn't care about the far right wing because those are going to be primary contests. Now he has to make a calculus. Do I pick up a few more seats, get Republicans in control, and I get to become leader one last time? Or do I cater to the far right, which I'll never be leader? I think his calculus was clear and obvious. I need to go to the center. I need to start winning over those centrist voters, whether it's in Georgia, which is going to be back on the ballot now, Maryland, other places where he has a real opportunity to pick up 1, 2, 3 seats and become leader again.
You know, Kevin, we saw this back in 2010. I mean, where the Republicans, many in the House, won even some of those bitter primaries. But when you look at Sharon Angle out of Arizona and Don McDonald, whatever her name was, you know, in Maryland or Delaware, where, you know, you could have picked up that seat as well. The bottom line is this all too much too early to talk about right now, Kevin, or is this all going to start warming up by summertime?
Oh, it's definitely going to start warming up. And look, let's be very clear. As Steve said, the map isn't very favorable. You have a lot of, all of a sudden, seats where you're playing defense. Iowa, you probably have a senator retiring there after many years. Chuck Grassley. Pat Toomey's retiring in Pennsylvania. That's not exactly going to be strong for Trump. And I'm sorry, I keep telling people, keep your eye on Wisconsin. I think Ron Johnson's going to be in for the fight of his life come 2022. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're playing a lot of defense. And yeah, there's an opportunity in Georgia to flip that seat, but there aren't many. That's the Republicans have got to start playing ball. And look, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Mitch McConnell is the most important Republican leader since Ronald Reagan in terms of judges. And let's be very clear, the most powerful Senate leader we've seen since the days of Lyndon Johnson. Okay, that's the level we're playing at. Yeah, I get Trump's furious about him. You know, Elaine Chao didn't help matters by jumping off ship in the cabinet, you know, after the January 6th riots. But I think McConnell's going to be there in the long haul.
I think so, too.
Steve, let me throw it out. We played a lot of clips during the 2019 primary in the 2020 on the Democratic side. And everybody didn't think. I mean, listen, Steve, we were playing the clips on MSNBC and CNN. They never thought Joe Biden was going to win this thing. The far left were going to pick it up. And then what happened is we started playing the clips of hardcore leftists out there that love Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren. But they all said, oh, but I want to win. I'd like to vote my conscience, but I want to beat Trump so bad. I'm going to compromise and vote for more of the moderate candidate. Steve, is that possible that the idea may happen in a Republican primary?
So, yeah, Republicans in our polling and focus groups, viability matters more. Now is the time for infighting. Now is the time for sitting around the family table, arguing, yelling back and forth. But when it comes right down to it, Republicans have been traditionally better at saying, hey, we want a winner. Democrats were so stung with the loss of Hillary Clinton that they finally set aside their I want the most leftist candidate. Felt, you know, two things happened at once. Joe Biden was seen more as a centrist candidate. When Clyburn came out and endorsed him, the black vote just went and collapsed towards him. And the next set of states were predominantly black states. And that's how he got the nomination. But you know, we now live in a world where viability, listen, we used to poll viability and it was always good in the early polls. Yes, I want somebody who can defeat the Republicans or I want somebody who can beat the Democrats. But at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. Other issues matter. We now live in a world where viability matters. We live in a world of two things. Tip O'Neill said all politics is local. That's gone. All politics is national and viability does matter.
You know, Steve just brought up something interesting, Kevin. In that Gallup survey, you could look at anybody, for example, I think Frank Luntz even said this. He says you could have, and again, I didn't think the impeachment was needed of President Trump. He's on his way out. Just, hey, let things just go. But I get why the Democrats want to do it. Trump's a great fundraiser for him. Having said that, Frank Luntz said something about, you know, you take a look at those that voted for impeachment with, of course, with Cassidy and Burr and also with Mitt Romney. Steve made an interesting point. It's no more local. These guys, you know, you could have, it's so funny, Kevin, you could be Marco Rubio and Rick Scott. And you could have done so much for conservatives. You could do so much for your state. And because you didn't vote to acquit them or you didn't vote to oppose the certification of the election, Republicans are ready to kick you out here, Kevin. I'm sitting here going, where is Republicans thinking on this issue?
Yeah, look, Cassidy, I think, is going to be in Louisiana. That's going to be a major, major drawback for him. Same with Burr in North Carolina, who is up in 2022. That's going to be another place where Republicans will be playing defense. So there are definitely some interesting races coming up. The other thing I think is, look, Florida in particular, we see a turnover of our state's electorate about one third of it every 10 years. People are increasingly moving around more. We don't know who our state legislators are. Often we don't know who our members of Congress are. Where people stand on Senate, you know, in the Senate races, even the gubernatorial races, where they stand on the national stage, that does matter a lot to a lot of primary voters.
Hey, Steve, real quick, I want to give you the last word on this. You know, usually there's a thing called a postmortem. The Democrats, you know, to their credit, I'm not a fan of a lot of their issues, but they never stopped once Trump got in. I remember after 2008, 2012, Republicans were having this postmortem, but they made a pretty good comeback about 6, 7, 8 months later. Steve, you do a lot of polling on issue groups, excluding what's going on with Tallahassee coming up now between March and the 1st of May. Will you still be doing on issues for upcoming elections next year, or when does that start? When do people start focusing back on some of these things? Is it now? Are you busy all year round, or would this start coming back up around the fall and winter time?
I'm probably busier now than I was.
Really?
Because a lot of now we shift to legislative communications, and the issues that we're polling are what are the things people care about?
All right.
We have to lay down to the legislative process. And frankly, the professional class is not paying any attention to elections right now.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, they're getting the things done that they've got to get done because we've transitioned, right? Kickoff is, I mean, formally it's not underway, but committees are meeting. Everybody's scrambling to get all their stuff done in committees. And frankly, if you don't have a bill out of at least one committee by the first week of session, unless it's leadership priority, you're already automatically dead.
All right.
People are moving very quickly to get those things moving.
Steve Vancor, Vancor Jones Communications. I always love having you on. And Kevin Derby, the editor for Florida Daily. Both of you, it's so great to have you on. I love having very fast pace. And of course, this is brought to you by Farrah & Farrah, serving you since 1979. Lawyers you can trust. That's farrahandfarrah.com. Another edition of Florida Daily TV right here on floridadaily.com.
This episode of Florida Daily was brought to you by Farrah & Farrah. Don't let an accident wreck your life. Our legal experts are ready to fight for the justice and compensation you deserve. Call Farrah & Farrah.